Okay, if you have a Bible, let's turn to Numbers chapter 6, verse 23 to 27. Numbers chapter 6, verse 23 to 27. Okay, you're wondering why we are still collecting offering. We've been discussing, okay, we meet once a fortnight, okay, with all the elder board. We were suggesting, I was also suggesting to collect offering going by rows, okay? But then one of them said that, Pastor, it is good to be like that because it is very biblical. The people bring their offering. So when you come forward, you bring your offering to the house of God and you come forward and you give your offering. So hearing that, we decided to continue as it is today, okay? Heaven can't wait to bless you. That is the title of my message. Numbers chapter 6, verse 23 to 27. Father, right now I pray that you just anoint me. I depend upon you. Let your unction be upon me, upon your people. Jesus' name I pray. Numbers 6, 23 to 27. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel and I will bless them. You know, as I was trying to do a research, okay, on this message, on the priestly blessing, okay, this whole thing is always called the priestly blessing. I'm surprised that is a very detailed practice even until today. Under the Jewish tradition, even until today. The priests who were supposed to execute this blessing are called the Kohanim. They are called the Kohanim. Maybe we see some pictures. Okay, this is a Kohanim. Okay, he is a Kohanim. He is a priest. He's supposed to execute this blessing upon the people. The Lord does not command the priest to bless the people using their own words. No, he did not command them to use their own words, but rather provide the exact formula, for the blessing, prefacing the instruction with the word, then shall you bless. You will notice that the blessing comes from the Lord himself. This is the title of a message. Heaven can't wait to bless you. Truly God can't wait to bless you. The blessing comes from God himself. It must be remembered that the subject of the blessing is the Lord. He alone is the one who does the blessing. And he commanded the Kohanim to do the blessing on his behalf. And the Jews who were supposed to receive the blessing, they do not look. You will notice that the two of them, they were receiving the blessing, okay? They make it so serious. They are not supposed to look at the Kohanim. They are supposed to look on the ground. Okay, and these people, they cover themselves with a shawl. They are not supposed to look at the Kohanim, the priest, for a reason. While the Kohanim are saying the blessing, that means when the guy was saying the blessing, they cover themselves, they look at the ground. Instead, one is supposed to not look at anything, but to focus, concentrate on the blessing. That means the purpose is that you are to focus and concentrate on the blessing that is given unto you. According to traditions, during Solomon's temple, it was said that during this benediction, the divine presence of God, Yahweh, would shine on the fingers of the Kohanim. Would shine on the fingers of the Kohanim as they would bless the Jews. And no one was allowed to look out of respect even until today. Because in the beginning, only God can bless people. You must understand this truth. His first blessing came upon Adam and Eve. Then he blessed Noah when he left the ark. Then God especially blessed Abraham, who became the spiritual father of each and every one of us. And Abraham was also himself given the power to bless other people. But the truth of the matter is, this blessing originates from God. God can't wait to bless you. You must understand this truth. You must understand this truth in life. Heaven can't wait to bless you. Numbers chapter 6 verse 24 to 26 is often called the Aaronic blessing or the priestly blessing. It seems to be a threefold repetition. Okay, it is a triple repetition. If you look at verse 24, 25 and 26, it starts with the covenant name of God, which is the Lord. The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. The word Lord is in capital in the King James Version, and it means Yahweh, and because Yahweh is so hard to pronounce, they call it Jehovah. The covenant name of God emphasizes God's care, the Lord's care, the Lord's guidance, the Lord's special notice of the one whom he blessed. So you must understand this important truth in our life. The Aaronic blessing seems to designate wholeness. And the word wholeness comes from verse 26, the verse peace. Peace means wholeness. When you have peace, you have wholeness. When you have wholeness, you have peace. So when you are whole, many of us, we are not whole. And because we are not whole, there's no peace in life. Isn't it wonderful to be blessed by God? Because God said, the Lord keep you, the Lord bless you, the Lord give you peace, the Lord give you wholeness, the Lord give you peace in life. Isn't it so wonderful to be blessed by God of wholeness, on wholeness and peace in life, which is lacking in many of our lives? How often our life is without peace? How often our family is without peace? How often our health is without wholeness? There's a discussion on whom this Aaronic blessing is addressed to. One claim it is meant for the male and female who are Nazarites. Because the whole book of Numbers chapter 6 is actually on the Nazarite vow. Then the ending is the Aaronic blessing. Another group states that it is for the Aarons and his sons. But if you study verse 23 properly, in verse 23, it mentions the priest's blessing in Yahweh's name, implying that this is a general blessing. It's so wonderful. A general blessing to be given to all Israelites at the times of worship. It is so wonderful. It is a general blessing to all the Israelites at the time of worship in the Old Testament. How about the New Testament? Okay, in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possessions. In Christianity, this is for us. In Christianity, this passage of scripture has been used regularly in benediction at the end of service, frequently titled the priestly blessing. Okay, when you are in Christ, you are included in a blessing. You are included. Just now when you were singing that song, okay, on the priestly blessing, you can sense the presence of God. It is the priestly blessing upon the people. And we are the people, we will say, Amen, Amen, Amen. You are included in this blessing. Therefore, certainly we need to understand the importance of this scripture. In verse 27, the use is referring to individual blessing. Okay, I'm not talking about blessing upon the church as a whole, which will happen, but blessing upon individual beings that is upon this church. As I said, God knows you by your name. God knows the numbers of your hair. God knows where you stay. God knows what you are going through. God knows what is your family experiencing. And the blessing is for you as an individual. You know, we live in very crazy times. Everybody in the world leaders, in the whole world's leaders country, they are saying that this world is no more the same. Not said by the people within the church, but by world leaders. We see all that is going around and say it is crazy. The world is going through a crazy time. Since COVID-19, the world has never been the same as before. Yet the COVID-19, global issue, followed by the Ukraine war, global issue, followed by the Hamas-Israel war, then the Trump tariffs, another global issue, have consecutively shaken the world. Do you know the Bible says this? Yet once more, I shake not only the earth. That means God will shake the earth first, and God is shaking the earth. Then after God shake her, then he will shake the heaven. How will God shake the heaven? I don't know. Okay, maybe, I mean, you heard about Trump is going to put a super drone over United States and to protect the whole country, and the satellite will be used as weapon from heaven to shoot down any attacking missile from any countries of the world, from Russia, North Korea, from China, for missile weapon. God said, I will shake the heaven, yet not only heaven, earth, but I will shake the earth also. Many people presume and are unsure of what the future holds for us. Look at employment. Okay, now we are going into AI, artificial intelligence. Everything is into AI. Do you know that even Bill Gates himself said that when AI is fully deployed, and when it's fully deployed, many people will lose their job. You look at the millions and the billions of people that are working today, their jobs will be employed by AI, replaced by AI. Where are they going to find their job? Where are they going to find their employment? How are they going to survive if you do not have a job? Life is ever changing. Life is ever feverish, changing, continuing through these last days. But do you believe that God is still having the best interest of you in His heart? God still have your interest in His heart. Well, Numbers 6, 23, 27 gives the answer. What can we learn from this portion of scripture? Number one, the command to bless the people. The command to bless the people. Numbers 6, 22, 23 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons. These are priests. Aaron is a high priest, his sons are priests, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel, the people of God. This is the way you shall bless the people of God, and say to them. Firstly, this verse says, this is the way you shall bless. Moses, Aaron, and the spiritual descendants were commanded to bless the people of God. They will do according to the procedure that is detailed in the following verses, which we'll read later. Secondly, the priest will always wake up every morning after the service to bless the people in the temple. Thirdly, the priestly blessing follows the section after the vow of the Nazarite. As I told you, the whole of number 6 is on the Nazarite vow. The first part of number 6 is given to the Nazarite vow. The act of Nazarite vow demonstrates consecration and separation. It seems that the priestly blessing is often closely connected with consecration and separation. When you are consecrated, when you are separated, there is definitely the priestly blessing that is meant for you that will be upon you. Applying to today's context as a pastor, to be honest with you, I'm impressed many times because this is the role that is given to the priests. To pray down a blessing on the people in this church. This blessing is important in the ancient Israel's time. How do I know? Because they discovered the amulets. They discovered a copy of this priestly blessing that looks like two scrolls that were the size of cigarette butts. Will you see the picture? Hello? Two scrolls that were the size of cigarette butts. It was found in 1979 during an archaeological discovery, and they found in a burial place, and they said that this scroll was used for pendants during the burial time. But the scroll was used, you know, if we Chinese, okay, I don't know about you, okay, if some my parents die, okay, there will be the wake. I have to go to the wake and I wear white or black, whatever it is, wear black. Then I have to put an amulet. A color. Okay. This is the thing. It is an amulet. They found among the remains was a phylactery, an amulet containing two silver scrolls the size of small cigarettes, upon which were written the two versions of the priestly blessing. This has been used as amulet for individuals and during burial pendants. As such, they attest the authenticity, the adequacy of the priestly blessing. It is something that is very important, that is even to be found in the church. Number two, Yahweh's actions and attitude towards the blessing. Note the verbs related to Yahweh's actions and attitude towards the one receiving the priestly blessing. It says here, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. This blessing is not requested by an individual, by a child of God. This is God's desired blessing. Here on, heaven can't wait to bless you. God can't wait to bless you. This is God's desired blessing. You must understand this true. It means that whatever is mentioned here, it is clear, it is dear to God's heart. What is dear to God's heart? Something He aims to achieve and for the well-being for His people. And His desire is to bless the people. This simple desire begins everything. When you have this blessing, I tell you, it starts the role of everything in life. And God loves to bless people. And He wants leaders, like the priests, the pastors, to long to bless the people. As a senior pastor, do I long for the congregation to be blessed? Yes, I long for the people to be blessed. This simple desire recognizes all blessing really comes from God. You know, all blessing comes from God. You must understand this truth. All blessing comes from God. And without His blessing, nothing really works. Without His blessing, nothing really works right. You just imagine that statement. So it's a powerful statement. Very powerful truth. All blessing comes from God, and without His blessing, nothing really works for your life right. So you must seek after the blessing of God. And you must understand this truth, that God desires to bless you. So you have to cooperate and unite with God to understand how to get this blessing in your life. We must also remember that God's blessing has always been in mind, our greatest good and our highest good. When God bless you, God has in His mind your greatest good, your highest good. Many a time when we see this blessing, okay, we see this statement given, we expect God's blessing to come in a life of comfort and ease. God's blessing means to bring a life of comfort and ease, but not certainly. It is not your highest good, and it is not your greatest good. God knows what is best. God knows what is best and how you need to be blessed, even if you do not and you do not agree. If you think to be blessed is to own wealth, God think otherwise. God think otherwise. I read to you, Luke chapter 12 verse 15. Then he said, Jesus said, beware. Guard your heart against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Listen, those are you that are accumulating wealth for yourself. Life is not measured by how much you own. Wow, powerful statement. Then Luke 2:12-21 says, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but do not have a rich relationship with God. You are called a fool, a silly and a stupid person, an idiotic person who store up wealth but have no intimate relationship with God. We think of money as something very, very important. I want to tell you something. In God's dictionary, money is not the number one importance. In importance, the Lord bless you. It means a life of wholeness in life, a life of peace. It means health. Health. You can be very rich, but you are not healthy. It means love. You can have a lot of money, but there's no love in a family. You know about Jackie Chan. He has a daughter. Okay, he disowned her. Okay, and she lives like a pauper in Canada or United States. And Jackie Chan even wouldn't leave a hand to help her, even though he is a multi-millionaire. He's worth $600 million. I mean, no matter what the daughter has done, he should stretch out and help. Okay. There's no love in the family. Jackie Chan's elder brother, elder son, okay, younger son, was caught with drugs, and the Chinese governor put him in prison. Jackie Chan has to fly to China and negotiate and pull the son out of prison. You can have wealth, there's no love in a family. There's no love in a family. You can have, it means to have health, love, peace. Of course, it also means to have wealth where you have no lack. I personally believe that if you serve God properly, you won't have to worry about food. You have no lack. David himself said, I've been young, I've been grown old. I've never seen the righteous begging for food. God will take care of you. That is peace, wholeness. True blessing comes from God and is higher than health, wealth, and comfort. And keep you. Yeah, I think this one is no good. Maybe I'll take this out. And keep you. B. God's blessing is never separate from His keeping power. Whoa. Never separate from His keeping power. Many a times we pray for blessing. And how often we ask God to keep our blessing. Keep us even after receiving our blessing. To ask God for a house, a car, a business is good. But to ask Him to keep that house, keep that car, keep that business while you are using that blessing, that is more important. Some people accumulate wealth and to lose everything. Ask Him to keep you while you are having such blessing. He's the only one who can keep us from being entangled in idolatry. You know, some of us, when we become a little richer, we enter into a little proper place of comfort, we become complacent. We start to trust in our wealth. We start to feel that there's no need for God. Especially in Singapore, I felt that they are so rich. They are so rich and they felt that there's no need for God. They are doing God a service when they go to church on the Sunday. You must pray that He's the only one who can keep you from entangled in whatever kind of idolatry or materialism. By some of the same blessing we seek after. God's idea is not just to bless you. It is to keep you. To keep you. Now I thank God for 2012. Anytime, many times, I seem to have lost everything. My employment, my name, my organization, friends, so many friends, they did not come near me anymore. But actually, as I look back, I thank God that He has done all that. I really thank God for He has done all that because He is keeping me. Yahweh's blessing power is never separate from His keeping power. I think I may miss heaven and I turn out to be a worse person if I have not experienced 2012. That is keeping you. Sometimes bad things happen to you to keep you. I will say that God was keeping me because we cannot see the future. When bad things happen to us, we react wrongly. But have you ever thought that the bad things that happened to you was to keep you, God's keeping power? I find this verse to be very true in my own personal life. God works together for good to all who love God, who are called according to His purpose. I believe that anything that happens to me is for a purpose. I do not know about you, but I personally believe everything that happened to me is for a purpose. Anything that happened to me, God is talking to me about something. You may not know, but it is something that God is talking to you about. He shields us from all harms, grants us all things necessary for our welfare. To be kept by God is tremendous blessing. God keeps you for heaven. Keeps you for heaven. Jesus said to Peter, I prayed for you. The devil wanted your life, but I prayed for you. And God, Jesus is saying, Peter, I kept you. I kept you that you are bound for heaven. Some people are kept, controlled by sins and desires. Some people are kept by idolatry, the riches and greed. Some people are kept by their own bitterness and anger. But to be kept by God is life, peace, and success. In our today's context, how is God keeping us? Say, God, how are you keeping us? Jesus said, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift He promised. As I told you, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. By giving us the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, the Trinity, God's Spirit indwells in us. I want you to think the powerful being that is in you. God's Spirit come upon you. You know, in the Old Testament time, it's only for Moses, for the high priest, for the king. But today, because of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came upon us.
And you will feel the burning of the fire of the Holy Spirit inside you. And that is the Holy Spirit inside you. And the burning of the fire of the Holy Spirit inside you is keeping you, keeping you. Number three, see, the Lord makes His face to shine upon you. The face of God is His personality. The face of God represents His personality. That is turned towards man or is turned away from man. Away from man. If His face is hidden from you, if His face is turned away from you, is it despair and death? That's what happened to Saul, King Saul. God's face was turned away from him. And he was so troubled. And Saul died a terrible death. He killed himself. He committed suicide. The spirit left him because God's face is turned away from him. When His face is turned away from you, it's death and despair. When His face is turned away from you, it's destruction and death. But when His face is turned upon you, you know, the Bible says, the Lord bless you. It means that the Lord's face is turned towards you. It means love, mercy, life, salvation. When the face of God is turned toward you, it is what the blessed Son is to our body. Here God is described as a human whose face shine on you. This is made possible when Christ become man in the person of Jesus Christ, where His face shine upon you. To have a glorious face of God shining upon you is the greatest gift you ever have. If you have the face of God shining upon you, it's the greatest gift you can ever have. To know that God, as God look upon you, He's well pleased. Not because of who you are or what you have done, but because you are in Jesus Christ. There's no greater source of peace and power in life. You know, you are Christian, you are new ones, okay? You are the new ones that come to church. How about the new ones that are here? How about sinners? And those who have done wrong this morning, you come in this morning with sins in your life. Well, you can imagine the Father disciplining the Son and putting the Son out of His face. But then later receiving back and loving His, putting His loving first towards a person again. This is how God receives sinners. When you come to Jesus through the death of Jesus Christ, the face of God shines upon you again. And this morning, to the new ones, the Lord will make His face shine upon you again if only you come to Him in repentance. You have to come to Him in repentance. Why should you be troubled and fretting all through life when God is smiling at you? No, I want you to think properly. Why should you be fretting and complaining and crying when God's face is upon you? Because though the whole world go against you, though the whole world censure you, 1,000 may fall at your right hand, 10,000 may fall at your left hand. If the countenance of God, His face is upon you, nothing matters anymore. Nothing matters anymore. This is how we face a crazy world. Nothing matters anymore. You know, the world that we are living in is really crazy. One of the sisters here just went to Singapore for a holiday. And she said, things are very expensive. I want to tell you something. When the face of God shines upon you, you don't have to worry about all these things. And God will take care of you. Which I felt that God took care of Pastor Lily and I for so many months when we were in Singapore. And even until today. This is how we face a crazy world. A lot of approval from God keeps a deep, delightful calm upon the soul. D, and be gracious to you. The idea is that God will show tender mercy. God will show tender. Today, many of you, some of you, you need the tender mercy of God and the care of God. And E, the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. This is to pray that God will look upon you, upon His people, when He blesses, keeps, shines, is gracious towards His people. Any look that God directs towards His people is filled with nothing but blessing. His loving attention is on the believer. To have one's eyes and face toward you means He pay attention. He pay attention. He smile at you. He look towards you favorably. When God smiles His people, that can ensure that He will be gracious to them. You will deliver them from all troubles. F. And give you peace. That means put his name upon you. Put his name upon you. Put the name of God upon you. This is the abundant life that is promised by Jesus Christ. Number three. It's a gift. How about this Aaronic blessing? How about this? What about this priestly blessing? It's a gift. It is a gift. You can't do anything to obtain this Aaronic blessing. You don't take any action to get this blessing. The blessing is simply given by a gracious God. And your job is to receive it. Your job is to receive it. You don't earn it. You don't need to maneuver in order to obtain it. The blessing revealed the nature of the gospel. The gospel. That's why we have Harvest Man. We do nothing to get it except come to God with empty hands of faith and receive what He wants to give you and more than willing to give you. Friend, Israel back then did nothing to earn the blessing. God took the initiative in saving and blessing them. God make it very clear. Same thing today. It's not because you are more in number, you are richer, you have a better character than the other person, that the Lord set His love and chose you. No. No. It is because God loves you and is keeping the oath that He swear to Jesus Christ. Why did God love them? Because He loved them. He loved them. There was this guy, this pastor asked the wife, Charlotte, say, Charlotte, why do you love me? And Charlotte always replied, just because. And he was very frustrated because she answered, just because. Finally, the wife gave this answer. He said that, if I love you for other reasons, then my love will be subject to change. If I love you because you have money, then what if you lose all your money? My love will change. If I love you because you have a sense of humor, but if you lost your, you're not funny anymore, then my love will be no more. So she said, I love you because. I love you because. Not of what you earn, but because I've chosen to love you. That is a higher loving manner. He simply gets to receive a love. He does not have to earn it. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. For God so loved the world. Because for God so loved sinner when we were yet sinning, Christ died for us. Tim Keller said this. The good news, the gospel is good news. The gospel is good news. Pastor Carlos, can you come up? Tim Keller said this. The gospel is good news.
Siling ni Tim Keller nga ang ebanghelyo amo ang maayo nga balita.
Not good advice.
Indi maayo nga paglaygay.
Advice is what you should do.
Ang paglaygay among ginaubra naton.
News is report of what is already done for you.
Ang balita amo na amo ina siya ang natabo na.
The gospel,
ang ebanghelyo
is good news because Christ has done for you.
Maayo nga balita tungod sa ginhimo ni Kristo para sa imo.
It is a blessing.
Pagpakamaayo ina.
A gift from God.
Regalo halin sa Dios.
That you just receive.
Nga batunon mo lang.
I conclude.
Magatakop ako.
We live in a cursed world.
Nagakabuhi kita sa kalibutan nga ginsumpa.
This started at the Garden of Eden.
Ini nagsugod sa Garden sang Eden.
Because of sin of Adam and Eve,
tungod sa sala ni Adan kag ni Eva,
the ground is cursed.
Ang duta ginsumpa.
Until today, the ground is cursed.
Bisan asa subong ginsumpa gidyang duta.
Look at our life. All our life we struggle. Until today we are still struggling.
Amo nga asa subong kabudlay gid sang aton kabuhi.
To earn a living.
Para lang mabuhi ka.
To get some money.
Para lang makakwarta ka.
And the ground grow thorns and thistles for us.
Kagdayon ang duta nagpatubo sang mga talunon kag mga tunok.
Okay, we renovated the roof of all the sheds.
Ginpakayon naton ang mga atokdra sang kubo kag sang pavilion.
All the workers work under the sunlight.
Ang tanan nga mga nag-ubra, ara sila nag-ubra sa idalom sa kadlaw.
They eat their food.
Nagakaon sila
by the sweats of their brow.
Pero ang ilang ginakaon ginpakabudlayan nila
because of all the sweats.
tuod sa tanan pagpangabudlay.
Same thing with us.
Amo man sa aton.
We return to the cursed ground where we will make dust.
Nagabalik kita sa duta nga kung sa diin kita naghalin.
Woman will give birth in pain.
Ang mga babayi, kung sa ilapag bata, may kasakit.
There was this Filipino that was in America.
May arang Pinoy bilang ang kato sa Amerika.
She was giving birth.
Nagbata siya.
She said, ouch.
Sila niya, agoy.
Ouch.
Argoy.
Finally, she used the Filipino word, agoy.
Sa huli, iti nag-aragoy nigit siya, nag-ouch.
Our paradise is lost because of God's judgment.
Ang aton paraiso na dula tungod sa paghukom sang Dios.
That's why God sent Jesus Christ.
Amin ang rason kun nga ang aging padala sang Dios si Jesus Cristo.
To restore the blessing to us.
Agud nga ibalik ang pagpakamaayo sa aton.
You want the priestly blessing?
Gusto naton bala ang ini nga klase ang parianon sa pagpakamaayo.
Jesus Christ.
Possibly matabo tungod kay
Jesus. Jesus demonstrated it when he came, he pronounced blessing upon his people.
Kay si Jesus mismo sa pagkarinya ginhambal niya gid ang pagpakamaayo sa mga tawo.
He restored blessing to the physical body.
Ibalik niya ang pagpakamaayo sa lawas.
He restored blessing to the mental health.
Ibalik niya ang pagpakamaayo sa atong huna-huna.
He restored blessing my healing relationship.
Giibalik niya ang pag-ayo paagi sa pag-ayo sa mga relasyon.
But while blessing other people,
kag pagpakamaayo sa iban,
he himself became a curse.
Ginpakamaayo yung iban pero siya mismo sumpa.
Cursed is everyone that is hang on the tree.
Kaya ang Biblia nagasiling nga gin ang tawo nga ginlans nga ginabitay sa kahoy ginsumpa na.
Jesus become a curse so that you can have blessing.
Kay si Jesus nangin isa kasumpa agud nga ikaw mapakamaayo.
Because when he was resurrected,
apangkot sang siya ginbanhaw,
he made possible the blessing that originally was meant for us.
Ginhimo niya nga posible ang mga pagpakamaayo nga amoy na ang dapat naton mabaton.
All along God wanted to bless us but we sinned against him.
Halin pa sang una gusto sang Dios nga pakamaayohon kita pero gapakasala kita eh.
So God made Jesus a curse.
Gani ang Dios ginimo niya si Jesus nga siya ang manginsumpa
to pay for our sin.
Agud bayaran ang aton mga sala
so that we can be reconciled back to God.
Agud nga makabalik kita sa Dios.
You know why is the answer?
Ano bala ang sabat?
The blessing in your life.
Para makaangkon kita sang pagpakamaayo sa kabuhi.
To receive Yeshua.
Ang pagbaton sa manluluwas nga si Jesus.
To receive Jesus.
Pagbaton kay Jesus.
To receive the blessing of God.
Pagbaton sa pagpakamaayo sang Dios.
He says here,
ginasiling
1 John 5:12.
Ang first John una nga Juan 5:12.
Whoever has Jesus.
Nga kun sino man ang may Kristo, may Jesus.
Whoever has a son.
Sino kun sino man ang yara sa iyang anak.
Has life.
Buhi.
Whoever doesn't have the son.
Ang kung sino man nga wala ang anak sa iya
does not have life.
Wala sang kabuhi.
I phrase it, whoever has Jesus.
Ihambalo na kon liwat kung sino ang nga tawo nga may Jesus
has blessing.
May pagpakamaayo.
Whoever doesn't want Jesus.
Kag kung sino man ang magpangindi kay Jesus
have curses.
May sumpa.
Does not have life.
Wala sang kabuhi.
So I ask you,
gani pa nga mangkoton ko ikaw.
I want to pray for the new ones first. Then after that, I'm going to pronounce the priestly blessing upon our congregation.
Pangamuyoan nato na yung mga baguhanon.
But let's concentrate on the new ones.
Okay, pangamuyoan sa mga baguhanon nato diri. Sa katapusan ng ginsiling bago lang ni Pastor, kagsiling sa Biblia, siya nga ara si Jesus sa iyang kabuhi. May kabuhi. But silingon, may pagpakamaayo. Pero kung sinuman ang tao nga magpangindi kay Jesus, ara ang sumpa. Nagapabilin ang sumpa kag wala siya sang kabuhi. Kung sa kamo magpili sa sini nga aga, kabuhi, pagpakamaayo o kun sumpa, di inang pilion ta. Kabuhi o kun sumpa, di inang pilion ta. Kung gusto nato ng kabuhi, batulunin mo si Jesus. Migi na pangabay na kun sa sini nga tion. Kung batunon, gusto nimo batunon pagpakamaayo sa Dios, batuna si Jesus. Kung gusto nimo batunon si Jesus, magwakas imo nga palungkuan, magkarika diri sa atubang. Ang sumpa, magatindo kita tanan. Ang sumpa, nga kuntani, makadto sa imo,